From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny.
I also want to say to the mayor and everybody else, this is now a process about mending fences, and this is a process about us moving forward.
That was Ross Mercurimi. Following a hearing last night, the San Francisco Board of Supervisors decided late last night to reinstate him as sheriff of San Francisco. Mayor Ed Lee had suspended the sheriff without pay back in March after Mercurimi pleaded guilty to misdemeanor false imprisonment charges for grabbing and bruising his wife's arm during an argument. We'll discuss the decision and what it means for the city and how likely it is that fences will be mended by Sheriff Mercurimi and his critics as well as the mayor. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's forum program. After 9 months of bitter legal and political fighting stemming from an incident last New Year's Eve in which San Francisco elected Sheriff Ross Mercurimi grabbed his wife Eliana Lopez's arm and bruised it, a decision was rendered late last night, by the San Francisco Board of Supervisors. Mercurimi had pled guilty to a misdemeanor charge of false imprisonment and was released from his job by Mayor Ed Lee, a decision that the San Francisco Board of Supervisors voted on to essentially overturn. 9 of the 11 supervisors were needed to vote against reinstatement following the 4-1 decision back in August of the Ethics Commission of official misconduct. They upheld Mercurimi's being released from his job, and the supervisors voted to actually overturn that. I should mention here also that 61% of San Franciscans who were polled agreed with the decision to remove Ross Mercurimi from his office. And we want to find out in this hour, what will reinstatement mean, not only as a precedent, but what will it mean for San Francisco? And as I said, we're going to take that up in this morning. With us in studio is Jason McDaniel. He's assistant professor of political science at San Francisco State, teaches urban politics and campaigns and elections. Welcome to the program. Good morning.
Good morning.
We also have former Mayor Art Agnos with us in studio, former mayor of the city and county of San Francisco, mayor during the Loma Prieta earthquake. And good morning, Art Agnos.
Good morning.
Let me begin, Jason McDaniel, with you. This has been so divisive and remains that way. And we heard a cut earlier of Sheriff Mercurimi saying that it is Sheriff Mercurimi now saying that he can mend the fences here. This is in some ways almost back to the future. It's the same kind of polarization that San Francisco had almost before this occurred.
Well, I do think this issue has polarized some residents of San Francisco, and people are interested in politics and these issues.
I'm thinking more about the old idea that, you know, you've got the progressives on one hand and the not-so-progressives on the other hand.
Well, right. I do think this is the first sort of step that the progressives have taken after the election of Mayor Lee and their inability to elect John Avalos or a progressive candidate. This is their first step in trying to build an anti-Lee, maybe rebuild a progressive coalition here in San Francisco.
And the idea that somehow fences can be mended here, I mean, from your perspective as a political scientist, especially since the mayor was so adamant that not only should Sheriff Mercurimi not fulfill his mandate, as some see it, as his supporters certainly see it, and they turned out in great numbers yesterday, but you had the city attorneys making comparisons to, like, Michael Vick running animal control. I mean, this is really divisive stuff.
Well, domestic violence in San Francisco is a serious issue, and I think you know, all of the supervisors that I heard spoke quite forcefully about that and being against, you know, domestic violence and making sure that San Francisco leads the nation in that. Nonetheless, this is an issue that the mayor feels like he is on the side of right in this regard. And the poll you cited showed that a lot of San Francisco residents agree with him.
Well, that poll said 61%. How does he go about – I mean, if you were advising him, how does he go about mending those political fences?
Well, in terms of the sheriff, he's got a lot of work to do. And if he does choose to try to mend fences with the mayor and with some of his former colleagues on the board, it's going to take a lot of personal relationships, a lot of issues, a lot of work with interest groups, both in the domestic violence prevention groups and around the city in the Progressive Coalition, to show that he deserves his chance.
Well, I thought we'd hear a couple of cuts here, if we've got them ready. One is from Eric Marr, and one is from Christine Olagi. And let's hear first from Eric Marr.
I don't believe it's right to allow someone with an admitted record of domestic violence to serve as sheriff. It sends the wrong message to the many victims of domestic violence in our communities.
That's the progressive side of things, and that's one of the supervisors who voted, one of the four supervisors who voted actually for reinstatement against the mayor's decision. Here is the supervisor from the other side, Christine Ola.
Based on the findings of fact established by the Ethics Commission, I don't see how we, as a legislative body, can sustain the charge of official misconduct. Furthermore, it was not proven with a level of certainty that the actions were related to the position of sheriff or the power of the office.
All right, we heard two cuts there. Progressive Supervisor Eric Maher, who I misspoke, surprised some by voting to remove Mercurimi from office, and Christine Olagi, another progressive who was appointed by Mayor Ed Lee, and she voted in support. So at this point, I guess really the question I want to ask you, Professor Maher, Professor McDaniel, is the idea that this is a reinstatement in many people's minds, and especially this is the 25th annual Domestic Violence Month in San Francisco, is just unacceptable, and beyond really being accepted on any level.
You know, politicians depend upon that public trust, both from the residents and citizens and voters of San Francisco and also their fellow colleagues. And I think, as you said, the sheriff is going to have a lot of work to do to reestablish that trust. And it's not for me to say whether that's going to be, you know, he's going to be successful in that regard. But I know that Mayor Lee's statement last night and some of the statements we heard from the supervisors who voted against reinstating Mercurimi show that they're going to, you know, it's going to be likely they're going to take a hard line on this, and it's going to be difficult for the sheriff to do so.
And again, Jason McDaniels, assistant professor of political science at San Francisco State and teaches urban politics and campaigns and elections. Susie Loftus is one of those who is concerned about this decision. She's a member of the San Francisco Police Commission, a former prosecutor in San Francisco, and prosecuted many domestic violence cases. Susie Loftus, thanks for joining us on Forum. Good morning to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
No, glad to have you. From your perspective, this, I suppose, is not only unacceptable, but sends out absolutely the wrong message?
That's exactly right. You know, Michael, there's been one overriding concern throughout this entire process from the moment that we learned of the domestic violence that occurred with Sheriff Mercurimi and his wife, and that is, can someone who is convicted of domestic violence, who has subsequently minimized the violence, who has been a part of vilifying witnesses who come forward to report the violence, discharge the duties of sheriff in one of the most progressive cities in America, where we really believe that we are leaders in the fight against violence against women and vulnerable communities? And it's been clear that resoundingly, I think San Franciscans agree that he can't do that. And we're scratching our heads at how the Board of Supervisors found otherwise.
Well, there is a sense not only of his responsibilities as overseeing domestic violence programs, but also maintaining the jails in which batterers are being held. I guess from your perspective, that also is unacceptable.
You're exactly right. And I recall one of the people who works in the sheriff's department, you have to remember, because we live in a place where the jail is not a jail like it is anywhere else. It's a place where there's healing, there's groups, batterers sit together in some of the most nationally recognized programs, one in particular called Resolve to Stop the Violence. These programs that were built and designed by one of the best sheriffs we've ever seen, Sheriff Michael Hennessy, and they were built and designed under one premise, which is we have an obligation to provide healing for batterers and an opportunity to change what they do, because ultimately that's going to keep people safe, for batterers to stop battering. And one hallmark of that program is accountability and not minimizing the violence. And the very real concern that many women and people have in San Francisco today is, how are the men in the jail sitting and contemplating how they're going to heal and change their behavior going to respond to seeing the sheriff, the person who is overseeing this program, minimize that violence and be rewarded for it?
So does this mean a recall is in the works?
You know, what this means is San Francisco has to decide how we're going to continue the safety net that we've created for domestic violence victims. Frankly, over the last 10 years, we've created a response system that we need to protect. We need to focus on making sure that women and victims and people out there today who see a boastful sheriff who believes that he won really sending the wrong message that somehow San Francisco is not the place that it once was, a place where victims can find refuge. And that's what we're concerned about. Victims need to know that we are going to protect the safety net. We are going to, as law enforcement, make sure that we continue to hold batterers accountable.
And again, Susie Loftus is a member of the San Francisco Police Commission and a former prosecutor in San Francisco who has prosecuted many domestic violence crimes. You may want to join us here and join in. And in fact, if you do, let me give you the phone number. It's toll free, and I'd like to hear from you, and feel free to join the conversation with any questions or comments you might have. That toll-free number is 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. You can also email us, forum@kqed.org, or post any questions or comments that you have on our website, kqed.org/forum. Click on this segment or go to our Facebook page. And you can also, of course, tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQED Forum, but feel free to join the program. Mayor, former Mayor Art Agnos is here with us in studio. And what do you say, Art, when you hear this kind of argument that this sends out the wrong message, especially where domestic violence victims are concerned?
Well, I see a different message going out there from yesterday's results. I heard all 11 supervisors express their profound commitment to domestic violence. In fact, everybody on both sides have expressed a profound commitment to advancing the programs and the recognition of the importance of domestic violence. My whole career has been dedicated to it. In fact, the 25th anniversary of the Commission on the Status of Women recognized my 4 years as mayor as creating a brand new commission that specifically focused on sexual harassment and domestic violence. We increased the budget. So I take great pride in being a supporter of Ross Mercurimi because I see there also a man who is deeply committed to advancing domestic violence issues and programs, and has done it his entire career. He is not a boastful man. He's a very humble man who is humiliated by everything that happened and ashamed.
Humiliated, yet, nonetheless, this not only got into politics, it got into a lot of personal concerns about there were people who just didn't like Ross Mercurimi. You said he was arrogant, and you know that.
Well, yeah, but that was over political campaigns and those kinds of things. It was not over the substance of issues like domestic violence, where he was a leader and has always been a leader. He's not minimizing this whole issue. Remember, he has accepted a plea bargain. He is serving his probation. He is going to his counseling. He has paid a fine. And now the second issue is the one that we're debating. But he has
from your perspective, this is about mayoral power, really?
Absolutely. And that was not my conclusion. It was the conclusion of the chairman, the brilliant chairman of the Ethics Committee, who dissented from the majority when he said that public policy dictated that the clause in the official misconduct part of the charter had to be narrowed and had to create a bright line, meaning there had to be a very specific definition of what misconduct was, and this did not meet that test.
It got into the whole question of decency, of how you define the standards of decency. And they were, I was reading some of the tweets. They were saying, for example, would somebody who was dealing pot go beyond or transgress the levels of decency? I mean, the fact of the matter is he turned the van around, and that somehow got turned into false imprisonment.
That's correct.
From his supporters, the city attorney, for example, said about Mercurimi's crime, the punishment didn't fit the crime. And from your perspective, that is clearly the case.
Absolutely. It didn't fit the crime. But he accepted his punishment. He is serving out the requirements of his probation. And I think it's going to make him a far more effective, understanding sheriff as he deals with all the complicated issues that are in front of a modern-day sheriff today. By the way, Mike Hennessy, who the commissioner identified as being the outstanding sheriff in the country, strongly supported Ross during this whole process because he understood what the issues were and said that he could do the job.
And again, Art Agnos here in studio, former mayor of San Francisco. Here's Supervisor Maya Cohen, who voted Malia Cohen, excuse me, who voted against reinstatement.
I believe that Sheriff Mercurimi's guilty plea to a crime of domestic violence and his subsequent probation requirements directly relate and may conflict with his duties as sheriff.
Well, we have Sheriff Russ Mercurimi on the line with us now. And Russ, I guess congratulations are in order, and you're feeling pretty good now. Russ Mercurimi, are you with?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah, you must be feeling pretty exuberant.
Exuberant, yes. My family hasn't slept any, but I'm internally grateful, you know, for all our incredible support and to the people for San Francisco and having to endure this agonizing process.
But the polls have 61% of the people feeling this shouldn't have gone down this way, and seven of the supervisors were not with reinstatement.
Well, I don't know what poll you're quoting, and I know that, yes, a number of people were quoting a variety of polls. We've seen polls leading up to yesterday, very recent polls, that even had district-by-district breakdowns. And I have to tell you, those were not push-button polls, or those were not the kind of chronicle polls where people can go and just push, you know, a button. These were well-in-depth polls that demonstrated that the high majority of people in many districts throughout the city were undecided about this, and that either we were receiving strong support for reinstatement, or it was almost an even split if the undecided was not that large. So I don't know what poll you're referring to. I think what people are tired of is this torture that has been kind of well played out, I think, in the press, distorted, misportrayed of me and my family. And I think everyone looks forward to just now going forward.
This is they used to talk about the Giants as being torture, right? how are you going to really roll up your sleeves and get to work in building trust, not only with the supervisors, but with Mayor Lee?
I started already. As soon as the events were concluding last night, I reached out to the caretaker sheriff, spoke with interim sheriff almost at about midnight. We have planned a transition debriefing starting later today and over the next several days. I've reached out to members of the command staff and the president of the rank-and-file union already to let them know that I look forward to debriefing and catching up with them. I think people should not forget, when you last had me on your show, which was my coming out interview after being quiet about all this, just because of how humiliated and ashamed and lost I was feeling when you and I spoke last April, that I haven't served this sheriff for nearly 3 months, and a lot of what we began and now what we started, which was halted or stalled, are now the kind of actions that we can return to. But I come into this as a very humbled person, one that has gone through an incredibly difficult process publicly, as well as everyone else, but our family's been inside out. And that's not an experience one just loses. That now, I think, permanently, indelibly has marked me, and I would like to believe enhances me in what it means to be a very effective and dedicated public servant.
I wonder what you say, though, to those detractors who argue that now it's like the fox being in charge of the hen house. You've accepted a it was a very serious crime, in fact, according to the attorneys who spoke on behalf of the mayor. And in fact, one deputy city attorney said it would be like Michael Vick being in charge of animal control.
Well, first of all, since day one of this whole ordeal, there's been an incredible amount of mischaracterizations and misportrayal about who I am and what I've done. And yet to this very day, nobody from the domestic violence agencies, nobody from the police department, district attorney, has ever reached out. The very person they claim to defend is the very person that they have tried to use, and yet she has written a number of pieces just outraged at that level of dismissal. So if, in fact, that this is some representation of victims' rights, and they should talk to the person that they claim to represent and hear what the full story is, and that has never been well told, the narrative that she doesn't, Ileana has not, I think, fallen into is what's bothered them, which is why I think they've intensified their attacks, such as a Michael Vick analogy, or such as even suggesting to us last night that, the next thing I could do is seriously hurt or kill my family. I mean, my God, to say those kind of things in order to enhance your position, while that might be politics and while that might be legal maneuvering in a court contest, it does not mean that you have to scare people into falsehoods, thinking that that is the kind of branding that's going to support their narrative. And I reject that.
Ross Mercurimi, thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much.
We go back to Susie Loftus, and you heard what Sheriff Mercurimi had to say. Susie Loftus, let's get your reaction.
Well, there's a couple things that Sheriff Mercurimi and I agree on. One of them is that people should not forget the facts of this case, and I think that's where it ends. The reality is Sheriff Mercurimi went through a criminal process. A criminal judge trained in domestic violence law in California, made a number of findings in this case. He admitted the 55-second video of Eliana Lopez pointing to the bruise on her arm and talking about how it had happened for the second time. He admitted the evidence of a prior girlfriend who gave a very similar account of what happened to her. After a two-day hearing, that was admitted. There was also an admission of witnesses close in time to the event who said, Eliana Lopez told me the same account of what happened, and it had nothing to do with turning a car around based on a fight and some accidental grab of the arm. Frankly, Michael, even Chair Herr of the Ethics Commission, who I disagree with on a number of points, said, we do not find Sheriff Mercurimi's account of the facts credible at all. This was a violent act. This is egregious. And so that is, I'm so glad Sheriff Mercurimi came on this morning, because this is the moment to say, is this the person who has made a reckoning? I've seen men plead guilty to domestic violence, and let me tell you, you can see it in their body. The moment you acknowledge the harm that you've caused, that's the minute you can start healing. And we keep hearing, he's a victim, he's had to endure something. You know what I want to say today? There's a lot at stake here, Sheriff Mercurimi, and it's bigger than you.
Actually, you, when you speak about, his past, for example, one of the women that he was involved with, actually lived with for 8 years, came out, as I'm sure you're aware, and said, And she claimed that she wasn't really being publicized or listened to, or actually articles she wrote weren't being printed. This is Evelyn Navies, who is a fairly well-known journalist. She said he was vilified. She said the whole process of making him into a villain nauseated her. And Eliana Lopez also said many things afterward that apparently weren't given much credence. She was just being seen as a victim, even though she said, I'm a strong woman, I'm not a victim.
So two things. No, look, there's no question that Ross Mercurimi has a number of loyal followers. The issue in the criminal case was whether or not the incident of the ex-girlfriend who did claim abuse met the standard for being admitted in a criminal case, because criminal law recognizes that domestic violence is a crime where patterns matter. The fact that a prior incident might have happened makes it more likely that this incident did happen, and a judge trained in that law admitted that. And second of all, what we do know about domestic violence and the pathology is, unfortunately, 78% of domestic violence victims recant at some point. And so you've heard Kathy Black and Beverly Upton and the incredibly brave, strong women of the domestic violence movement here in the city say, look, we stand behind our victims whatever path they take. We don't have a choice to, we can't only choose to support the ones who recant or don't recant. They're there to keep them safe, and that's the commitment.
All right, we are coming up on a break. When we return, we'll hear from you. We have Art Agnos with us, former mayor of the city and county of San Francisco, Jason McDaniel, assistant professor of political science at San Francisco State, and Susie Loftus, who is a member of the San Francisco Police Commission, former prosecutor of domestic violence crimes. Again, you can join us on our website, kqed.org/forum. Click on the segment or go to our Facebook page or tweet us. Our handle is at KQED Forum, or call us, 866-733-6786. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. We're talking about a decision that was rendered late last night by the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, which will reinstate Ross Mercurimi as sheriff of San Francisco. Jason McDaniel with us in studio, assistant professor of political science at San Francisco State, and Susie Loftus with us by phone, a member of the San Francisco Police Commission, who is a former prosecutor in San Francisco, prosecuted many domestic violence cases, and Art Agnos, former mayor in the city and county of San Francisco, who has steadily been in support of Ross Mercurimi. Some responses on our Facebook page and Twitter. John writes, glad to hear it, an argument between two people that didn't reach anywhere near the level of actual abuse seized on by Mercurimi's political enemies in the downtown political machine. Aiden says, I think if I was fired from a job for something I did prior to starting my job, I'd be blank. I think official misconduct should be based on something done wrong at work or after one takes office. And another listener tweets, San Francisco just proved that the court system supports abusers. Hypocritical for him to enforce domestic violence charges. Carol on our Facebook page says, I once believed Mercurimi should go. I know now this was a political vendetta. San Francisco claims to care about domestic violence. Bunk. They prosecute 20-odd percent of the cases. I don't like Ross, Eliana, or any of the people involved in the case, but this was a political vendetta. Charles from Sunnyvale says the sheriff cannot be called a leader on domestic violence issues when he himself has committed domestic violence. For this reason, he should step down. Does he have no conscience? And you can get the sense here of how this continues to be very polarized. Art Agnes, you want to respond to Susan Loftus?
I certainly respect and admire the passion of Commissioner Loftus, but her facts are not totally correct. First of all, Eliana Lopez was never questioned by the DA, by the police, by the mayor. So she has never said anything that needed to be recanted. She has always been steadfast, firm, and strong in the public and privately with me since this began about how there was no violence in terms of physical abuse of her and never has been. They had a verbal argument.
And that statistic you heard from Ms. Loftus about how so many abusers, wives
are spouses. When does that start? 10 years from now does she recant or what? But so far we've been through 10 months and she has never recanted. Someone who had a relationship for 7 years with Ross said they had a loving and positive relationship and there is no recanting. And she said he never came close. He never had the stomach to touch me. But yet some ex-girlfriend pops up with no cross-examination in court, just an affidavit, and that is immediately promoted as another example. I just don't think that's the proper way to prosecute these cases.
Bottom line, you think this was political from the get-go?
I don't think it was political from the get-go, but I think it was a mistake by a politically immature mayor to charge him before he talked to the man himself, before he talked to the victim herself, and made a judgment based on political advice that didn't work.
Well, Jason McDaniel, how political was this from your perspective?
Well, it's all politics. And I think we're seeing it's sort of striking how much we're seeing the competing groups still litigating this issue. And that means that the political process didn't work the way it was intended. We don't seem to have a consensus here. The mayor wasn't able, because four supervisors voted against the recommendation of the ethics board, the mayor was not able to succeed in his desires to remove Mercurimi. And that shows that right now his power may have been slightly weakened by this process.
Well, let's hear from our listeners. And we go to Tiffany first. Good morning, Tiffany.
Good morning. I'm a public school teacher and have been for 15 years, so I encounter a lot of families who have similar situations. And I was really disappointed in how the whole situation has played out. I just felt like Mercurimi could have been like a poster child for all men that face struggles with anger and who might have bruised their partner's arm either by accident or with too much force or with intent to control. But instead, I think it turned into another shame-based situation for everybody, and I think that's really disempowering for our system and for our men. And I also just find that he has consistently minimized what happened, and he hasn't really taken ownership, and I think that's a shame, because I think he could really be a leader, especially right now. He could be a leader for so many young men and boys and men that are involved in relationships where things quickly get out of hand. And could have sought treatment immediately rather than, quote unquote, just accepting it.
Let me thank you for that call, Tiffany. I know Mayor Agnes wants to respond to that, but he has been criticized steadily, Art, for not taking responsibility as much as he should have and for having perhaps dragged this out more than he could have not avoiding dragging it out as much as he could have.
Well, the dragging out has occurred when the mayor constantly added new charges after the initial incident in order to bolster a case that was not very strong. But most importantly, I think Ross has acknowledged his mistake. He has acknowledged that he is going to change and has been in therapy, personal therapy, both under probation every week. Since this happened 9 months ago, he's gone and went to his own therapist in addition to the court probation therapy with other abusers to understand this issue. And he's been going through personal therapy ever since. And for the last month since Eliana come back, they've been going to couples therapy. So I think that reflects how two people, as well as the man himself, are working as hard as they know how to get some internal understanding so that they can go out and speak externally about this. I think he's going to be a great spokesman for domestic violence, having been through it the same way we see a president of the United States who was impeached as the most popular politician in the country today. I think that Ross Mercurimi is going to be the kind of person that everybody in this city wants him to be about this issue.
Since he left us, could you foresee the possibility of real rehabilitation here, or Ross Mercurimi being a spokesman against domestic violence in a way that would really have some impact?
Well, look, of course, the whole idea is rehabilitation is the goal because of the need to keep people safe. We don't want batterers to keep battering, and the goal is to keep victims safe and rehabilitate batterers. But I've got to tell you, you know, again, with all due respect to Mayor Agnos, there was a 55-second video of Eliana Lopez detailing and showing the bruise on her arm and talking about how it had happened before. And subsequent to that, she has given a different version of the facts, but that's recanting, and that's what we see in domestic violence cases. And I agree with Tiffany, and I think my sense from the people I talk to in my neighborhood, in my community, is the minimization of this conduct is something that gives everyone a pause. How can you assume the role of sheriff, the chief elected law enforcement officer in this city, when you continue to minimize your conduct? Don't take the high road. And frankly, this idea that I accepted my punishment, I'm in my therapy. You know, Michael, it reminds me, I have three children. It reminds me of this idea. Look, I'm eating my vegetables, okay? I'm eating, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. What we in San Francisco and in the domestic violence community expect is a sheriff who embraces and wants to keep people safe and wants to reach out to victims and wants to hold batterers accountable. And we don't have that in the sheriff.
All right, let me bring more callers on. David, you're next. Welcome to Forum. You're on the air.
Well, I have to disagree with the former caller that just spoke. I do so agree with Art Agnos. I'm a victim, a survivor of domestic violence. Beverly Upton is a friend of mine, and Ross was not my first choice for mayor. But
actually, sheriff.
For sheriff. But if there is to be a recall, I don't think it will be for the sheriff, and I don't think there will be a recall. But I think it will be mayoral for Ed Lee, someone who had no aspirations and doesn't understand the levers of power in his office. The dissenting supervisors did say that domestic violence is an egregious conduct, and I agree with Beverly that this is not a progressive position. But and by the same token, Scott Wiener, who voted for impeachment, was on a YouTube video on a Metro Brita car whose door was open and abrogated his responsibility to call the conductor and did not even talk to Muni until the YouTube video surfaced. But we are not taking action against him. I think he's hypocritical. And I'm looking forward to coalescing and having the city return to normalcy instead of a circus.
All right, David, I thank you for that call. And I want to go to some of the emails here. Again, as you may imagine and assume, there's a great deal of division here. Let me just read some of these. Listener John writes, Mayor Ed Lee attempts to oust Sheriff Ross Mercurimi. It's simply political. Lee is a marionette for powerful moneyed forces in San Francisco who are tired of being confronted by the neighborhood activists who were swept onto the Board of Supervisors in 2000 after years of Willie Brown's excesses. And Ross says, Matthew says, Ross is arrogant and has refused to accept responsibility for his role in this process. He is minimizing the entire process, blaming a conspiracy and demonizing witnesses. He had a chance in January to be a man and step up to what he had done. Without all of this and his wife's drama, I would have been a supporter, keeping him in office. Instead, he made the same arguments people in custody make and refused to be a man. Mike commented online, while I deplore domestic violence, I feel that there is a huge anti-man domestic violence cartel in San Francisco. My wife falsely accused me of domestic violence in an attempt to gain custody of my daughter. I was appalled at how easy it was for my ex to get a restraining order, which cost $1,000 to fight with absolutely no need for evidence of any kind. Another listener writes, I can't believe they reinstated Mercurimi. If anyone watched the news last night, his body language when his wife touched his face and he pulled away was really telling. What a joke and an embarrassment to the people of San Francisco. There is, and let me go to you on this, Jason McDaniel. There is in some of the newspapers and blogs outside of San Francisco a kind of, I don't know, I would characterize as incredulity. You know, how can someone be a sheriff when he's been convicted of, or when he pleaded actually to, false imprisonment, a domestic violence charge?
Yeah, I think you see some of the same incredulity in San Francisco. People have strong positions on this, you know, and you see that in the emails and in the callers. And what I would emphasize is, and one of the former callers talked about this as a chance for leadership from Ross Mircarimi, but also I think a chance for leadership from the mayor, is that leadership is often about moving beyond one's divisions, right? You know, the sheriff has been criticized for maybe not properly accepting the process, you know, admitting some of the responsibility the way some people think he should have. Now perhaps Mayor Lee faces a tough decision, whether he will accept this process and move on, or will he encourage a recall effort and continue the fight. It seems to me that both men face tough tests of their leadership right now.
We'll go to more of our callers. And Kelly joins us from Davis. Kelly, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to state two quick things. First of all, domestic violence aside, I can't think of a lower baseline or a jumping off point for being a high-level law enforcement official than having not been convicted of a serious crime. And that's where you would start off, no matter what that crime is. Secondly, I also want to just bring to the fact that this is being characterized as though he made some kind of a mistake or this was some sort of a misunderstanding. There are lots of us all over that live our whole lives without having to be involved in the criminal justice system at all. It's not that hard to do. So I just think that this being a baseline for where you start picking who runs our law enforcement system should start with, hey, you've never had a serious altercation with the law before. I don't think that that's a hard thing to do. And I also want to say one other quick note, which is to the former mayor, characterizing sexual infidelity as being similar to domestic violence, I think, is a big mistake.
All right. I thank you for the call. Actually, Art Agnos, here's another listener who takes a shot at something you said. He said, so using the former mayor's logic, Ross should murder someone because then he will better understand murderers. Ross and Art should both shut up and go away.
That hurts. That hurts.
Unnecessarily harsh, but you get the point, I suppose.
It reflects the deep passion that people have about these issues, and I believe that once we're over the initial 24 hours of the recognition of the decision, if we follow the lead of the Board of Supervisors, who unanimously agreed that it was time to put this behind us, to bring together the community and the advocates on both sides so that we can advance the cause of domestic violence. And if there's one thing I know that politicians know how to make up better than anyone else. And I believe that the mayor, the sheriff, and everyone else connected with city government will make up, because there are far too many more important things facing this city, both immediately and in the near future, that require all of their attention than fighting over this issue, which has now been resolved, both in the courts and in the political institutions of our city. It's time to move on and come together, not only for the cause of domestic violence, but also for the future of our city.
Would you agree with the wisdom of that, Susie Loftus?
You know, I would say it's I'm interested in what the callers think, because the idea that the only people who have to make up in this are politicians is ludicrous. What's at stake here?
Mayor Agnos says he didn't say that.
Functional criminal justice system in San Francisco. Can we have a sheriff who has conducted himself in this way, minimized conduct, be the leader in law enforcement, who's going to make sure that we have a safety net and victims are safe, batterers are held accountable? That's the question, not whether or not any particular politician can make up. And frankly, when you understand the criminal justice system, on that day when Ross Mercurimi accepted the plea, we can talk about it's a plea for false imprisonment, but the reality for anyone who understands the system is the judge says, is there a factual basis for this plea, and where is it located? And Ross Mercurimi pled guilty to the incident of domestic violence, and he has continued to minimize that conduct and make this something that we need to forget so that we can move on. The question is, how can we, as San Franciscans, make sure that we keep people safe? That's the issue here.
By the way, conviction is so low level a misdemeanor. It's the lowest level misdemeanor there that exists for all intents and purposes, will be removed from his record, expunged, when he finishes his probation. That's how low level this is. So that's not to minimize it, but it's just to put it in the proper perspective. Plus, the courts that Commissioner Loftus works in has a presiding judge at one time who was convicted of domestic violence, never removed from the judge, never removed from the judiciary, and continues to this day to be on the judiciary. So there is restorative justice in this city. We do forgive people for mistakes and keep them in their positions. And let's not be hypocritical about it.
Let me read some more of your emails. Actually, first, Cheryl says on her Facebook page, one would think that Mercurimi would have at least feigned a bit of humility or gratitude that the system worked or some such this morning. I found his arrogance as he spoke very off-putting. Mary Ellen writes on her Facebook page, Ross Mercurimi should not be allowed to become sheriff of San Francisco County. What everyone forgets is that once he was elected, he was bound by the standards of the office. I agree with the current caller. He hasn't taken ownership of what he did. He's in no position to be responsible for inmates incarcerated because of domestic violence. I'll certainly sign any recall petition that comes my way. Politics, schmaltics. He needs another line of work. Anonymous listener says, I'm disturbed by the focus, which seems to be on how difficult it has been for the sheriff, not for his wife and child. He is not the victim. As a woman who was abused and left the relationship, the effect of being abused does not end when the spotlight is removed. What is he doing to support his wife, reduce his violent tendencies, and give abused partners' wives in San Francisco a sense that his department will help them, not the abuser? Richard says, I was informed of Christine Ology's office. I informed her office this morning that I have ordered 1,000 lawn signs that report her vote to keep this man as our sheriff, and that myself and several neighbors will be canvassing the district working to defeat her. We will not stand for the Central Valley transplant to serve a district that she obviously knows nothing of.
That's a very unbecoming comment because in this vote we had two very progressive women, Jane Kim and Christine Ology, vote to keep the sheriff in the office that he wants. And we had two very progressive men supervisors. So that were probably the most progressive supervisors that we've ever seen in this city saying, we understand that this is a very, very serious issue, domestic violence, and we will continue to work as hard as we know how to advance that cause. But this particular charge brought by the mayor, as identified by the chairman of the Ethics Commission, does not meet the test for official misconduct. That's the issue. The chairman of the Ethics Committee said that this portends serious implications for policy in this city for removing elected officials by another elected official other than the one constitutionally called for, which is recall.
But lest we forget, the Ethics Commission voted 4-1 in favor of the mayor's decision, and there were seven supervisors
Michael,
who went along
they
with
not
the mayor.
Forgive me, but they did not sustain the charge of domestic violence. They did not sustain. None of those commissioners said that was domestic violence after looking at all that evidence.
Lots of reaction coming through on Twitter. Listener writes, Ross Mercurimi sounds exactly like Jerry Sandusky. Another listener tweets, they who break the law are not fit to enforce it. And Amanda writes, Mercurimi has no business being in charge of a department of the city government that would need to protect women. Are we supposed to believe that his wife would be brave enough to speak out against him? Yeah, right. Richard says, the board keeps a criminal on the job as sheriff. One of your guests said she couldn't say if there would be a recall. Agno says it's good to keep a criminal on as sheriff. There will be a recall as soon as the law allows one to be filed. Ology is going to lose anyway, but Avalos and Campo should give up any hopes of a higher office. The majority in the city will not forget. Jason McDaniel, there is the political side that we keep emphasizing in all this.
A lot of politics here. Striking to me is how powerful the electoral connection is with the voters. I mean, Supervisor Ology surprised a lot of people, you know, a lot of drama last night in voting not to sustain the charges. That is because, you know, she felt that the voters in District 5 wanted her to vote that way. On the other side, I think we should understand why I think Mercurimi is often trying to portray this as an unfair process in which he was tortured tortured, you know, to use his word. It's because they're trying to make this a political point that the mayor is using his power unfairly, you know, abuses of power. And I think, you know, two points I'd like to make is, one, it seems to me that the sheriff has become the leader of the progressives in San Francisco now. The progressives, you know, most of the progressives supported him in this regard. He's now the leader of the progressives. And I would not be surprised if he survives a recall, he gets reelected in 2015.
Well, you study urban politics. Do cities generally recover from this sort of thing? I don't know what kind of precedent we have, but do politicians actually manage to do their jobs after these kind of scandals? Do we have any examples?
Yeah, I mean, as the mayor said earlier, politicians are very good at surviving. I mean, once if they do survive these kinds of processes, because they are often so skilled at working with opponents, courting voters, they often trust their relationship with voters. I would not be surprised at all if the sheriff's able to overcome or at least prosper in his office and do that job after this situation. But it's about whether both sides can agree to either move on or continue fighting this issue.
Well, here's a caller on point, and welcome, Eric. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. What kind of floors me in this whole debate is the hypocrisy of it all. You may remember a few years ago when our fire chief, Miss Joan Hayes-White, battered her husband. I know he was battered because I actually heard the 911 tape. He was getting his butt kicked. And in this case, she wasn't arrested, charged, or anything. And now, at the time, the police chief was a woman. The district attorney was a woman. That may have played a role in this. But beyond that, where were the women's groups then? When this man was clearly battered, there was no outcry. Now, if domestic violence is domestic violence, it applies regardless as to the gender of the perpetrator. So what I see in this whole thing is a gross hypocrisy here.
Well,
nothing was done.
A difference between a fire chief and a sheriff in terms of duties and responsibilities. But Jason McDaniel, is there a double standard here, do you think?
Well, I wouldn't want to speak to a double standard. I actually think this is the Commissioner Lofton earlier talked about, the ability of the laws of San Francisco to protect victims and asking the sheriff to have some responsibility for that. What we're seeing in some of the callers, not all of them, is a sense of resentment, you know, from some men, from others, disagreement about the facts of this case. We're all looking at the facts and we're often coming to different conclusions because of those resentments. And this is what politics can do. It's to help, you know, heal and move on.
Well, it's not a political divisions. It's also obviously gender divisions. And Susie Loftus, I wonder what you say to former Mayor Art Agnos saying that two of the supervisors were women who decided that it was worth reinstating or that it was valuable for whatever reason to reinstate Sheriff Mercurimi.
You know, I sat behind Mayor Agnos in the board chambers yesterday, and I heard something different, even from supervisors who made a terrible mistake and voted to reinstate Sheriff Mercurimi. Some of the progressive stalwarts said there is one reason we are here today. There is one reason that the city has been put through this, and it's Ross Mercurimi. It started with his conduct. It started with what he did, and in fact, they sanctioned a lot of the conduct that was going on in the board chambers. There was booing and hissing and bullying of women, survivors of domestic violence, who shook at the podium and told the Board of Supervisors their story and made an impassioned plea. They were booed and hissed. And what I heard was a Board of Supervisors who said, that is never okay. That is what is at stake here. We cannot conduct ourselves that way. So to continue to villainize the witnesses, to continue to suggest somehow that this was all a conspiracy against Ross Mercurimi is not what the Board of Supervisors said.
Well, here's some more responses by email that I wanted to get on the record. Mark says, Ross is good for San Francisco. It's great we have such a caring, passionate, intelligent, well-educated individual working for the city. Jason writes, I was accused of this very thing once by a vindictive person. I was innocent, but the system treats you as guilty without due process, and that wrongful accusation sticks with you forever. My accuser apologized, but the damage was done. It is easy to be a critic of Mercurimi. However, having been in his shoes, I can empathize with his unfortunate position. I think his treatment of this has got to make him a more mindful and balanced law enforcement officer. Another listener, Joan, writes, Mercurimi is now in a position to be aggressive in his position as sheriff, to be a stronger advocate of promoting women's rights, acts against domestic violence, and the rights of those who are in such situations. He should at least be given a trial period to test his behavior and to give him a chance, as most progressives would agree, that giving people a chance to correct their behavior is what being a progressive is all about. And a listener comments online, current guest refers to all perpetrators of domestic violence as men. In my experience, females are equally responsible for at least 50% of the violence. Most men don't report it. Maybe kind of high, but again, we get into the gender division here. It also is so fraught politically. Here's another listener, Lynn, who says, and maybe Art Agnos, you can respond to this. She says, how will Ross at Mercurimi deal with domestic violence as sheriff?
I think he's going to become a foremost model as a spokesman. He's going to reach out to the domestic violence community. I hope they respond, because I think together they can create new programs that make a significant advancement in a city that values that kind of service for people in need. By the way, I share Commissioner Loftus's criticism of people in the crowd who may have interfered with other people's right to speak before the Board of Supervisors, especially the victims. I didn't do that. And as a matter of fact, we've all suffered in both sides of this case from condemnation. I've gotten hate mail, hate calls, because I support him. So it's something that we have to put an end to and move forward for the good of our city.
Let me get a final word from you, Commissioner Loftus, particularly about this question of how he's going to be dealing with domestic violence cases now.
It's an open question, Michael. We believe that San Francisco has sent a message that committing domestic violence is not official misconduct, and there is an open question about what that is going to mean for the city of San Francisco, the city of St. Francis, and whether we can keep doing what we've been doing, which is be a refuge for the most vulnerable people in our society, and it's an open question.
Well, thank you, Susie Loftus. Thank you, Art Agnos. Thank you, Jason McDonald. Thank you, Ross Mercurimi, and thank you, our listeners, and thanks to our senior editor, Dan Zoll, and our producers, Judy Campbell, Irene Noguchi, Amanda Stupai. Our executive producer is Raul Ramirez. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg, and by a generous gift from Jan Schrem and Maria Minetti Schrem, owners of Clos Pegase Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.